You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. We're in the building. Harry, what's popping? You ready? I want to get into this, because we had this dude
I'm
on
ready.
The
line. You ready? Rock and roll? God damn it.
Drizzle, drizzle. Dre, you ready?
Yep.
All right, cool. This is one of my best friends. One of my best friends. We don't hang out nearly as much as we should. Just a dope, all-around dope dude, funny dude, all kinds of shit, done all kinds of shit. Give it up for my dog, James Madden, y'all. Give it up. Yeah.
Wonderful intro. Thank you, my brother.
It's good to see you, bro.
Buddy, last time I did your show was years ago, and you got me so fucking ripped on a weeknight.
Yeah, what were we drinking, bourbon? Were we drinking Woodford's? Woodford's Reserve?
Buddy, it might have been nail polish. That's how bad it was. And then we went to somewhere to have soul food, and I think I fell asleep.
Oh, we went to Five Spot. Yeah.
Five Spot. And all I remember is you driving me to Manhattan, blasting Tribe, and it never sounded better. With the, this is a good night out.
Right? Man, me and Dre used to go to the fucking, remember we went to this Five Spot, Dre?
Yeah, man.
I was like, yo, all of the appetizers. Give us.
I think we did that
every
day too.
Had a fat ass.
Just all of the appetizers with a fat ass and long
every
ass lashes.
Had a fatty. Even if she was ugly, still got a fatty. So I like their requirements. Face not important. You gotta have them. Yeah.
What kind of restaurant was this? Which one was
it? Soul Food. We went
Five
there.
Spot, Brooklyn.
Which place did we go to? Oh yeah.
You never
yeah,
did
wait.
A something.
Myrtle Avenue
here too.
Yeah, Myrtle Ave.
Which one was that? Jeez,
on the corner, like a real kind of woodsy
oh,
old
okay.
school bar.
Okay, yeah. I kind of remember that place. Yeah.
That's yeah. Not so, well, yeah, we had some good ones, man. Mm-hmm. I see you. You trying to bring back the legacy? I'm watching you on Instagram, trying to teach these motherfuckers what time it is.
I'm trying, and I'm also trying to teach myself. I don't lie when I do this podcast.
It's
to remind myself of what the fuck this is about. But yes.
Honest dude. Now, here's what's funny. You want to hear something funny? Remember you posted that that thing on Facebook, does comedy need bullies?
Yes.
And then somebody chimed in about somebody driving somebody home and blasting them all.
Yes. I kind of had a feeling it was you, and that person reached out to me.
Oh, afterwards?
Yeah, what was the story funny. Here? What happened? Was this?
Go ahead, tell the story, Matt, James.
Well, just, you know, so on Mondays, I'll put out basically something in the ballpark of what the topic is for the
comedy etiquette.
Yeah. And I see people debate, and it's very interesting to see who chimes in and what they chime in with. There's a book could be written about that shit. And someone brought up something that sounded familiar to like a friend of mine, and he got a ride back to Brooklyn. And Dante,
that was should have been it, right?
I believe Dante was kind of telling him what the fuck he felt.
So he asked, "Does comedy need bullies?" Which I don't think he meant bullies. I don't think it. But the point was, this was a young comic who was just like, you know, it just you know, I can't see something wrong and not say something. If I see something, I say something, especially if it's a young comic, because I would always want that to happen when I started doing comedy.
You've taught it to me, and we just bored. You've been like, hey, you look quick tonight. And I take a pause, and I go, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's why I'm not connecting.
Because sometimes, sometimes you're sitting in the stands, and you could see, you could, because I'm sitting in the stands.
The coach. It's like the baseball. Coach can sometimes see shit, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you say, Dre?
I'm saying it's like baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
They often see each other bat, and then they'll just give each other like little tips.
Yo, when you stepping in, you stepping in a little tight or something like.
Moving
but
too quick, you're talking too fast. Yeah.
So it was this dude. This dude, he was doing. It was funny because he was doing this joke, and the joke was something about a bunch. It was something about a eagle and a mountain lion in the back of a bodega, and I was like, dog. Like it was, he had rats, and then he went to the pet shop, and there was a mountain, like some shit. And I go, none of that happened, dog. None of that. What are you doing? What the fuck are you talking about? You don't, you know that mountain lions are endangered species? Like, what the fuck are you? You got an eagle in the. Okay, look. I said to him, I said, did you really have rats? He go, yeah, big fucking rats. I'm like, what happened with the rats? He's telling me the story. I go, that's the story you should tell. Why are you telling a fucking story that we don't give a, that nobody gives a fuck about in this fucking in Narnia that nobody believes when there's a real story about you dealing with something you're definitely afraid of that you could talk about? Like, there's no soul to it, you know?
Well, it's interesting because he did say that basically it was tough love and that it was, you came correct. And so that... Mm-hmm. If we had more people who were like that, and it's easier said than done, because I probably was a bitch ass to a lot of shit coming up. Oh, yeah. What are you talking about? You don't, just don't understand me. And I mean, we all do it. It's a natural thing to do.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're just trying to protect the business, that's why, I mean, one of the reasons why you and I click is we just, this is what we care about. This is what we do.
Well, you know, the other thing is that I think this doing comedy is something that has made me, and I would probably say that to all of us, probably the greatest times in our lives. Facts. Is doing this. And, you know, I think to tarnish it with not, you know, it's like that we should revel in it because it's such a powerful thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just hate to see it. Like, I mean, there's a way to do it. And there's also a way where, to a certain point, where it's stylistically, you know, like people do things stylistically. Like, you have a different style than I have. And I would never, but if I say, yo, you're running a little fast, I'm saying you're running a little fast in your style. I know.
You know what I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're just looking out for me. I mean, if I give you, it's just we want each other to succeed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. And when it comes from a real honest and authentic place, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's.
Well, you also will do that. I mean, it's not just comedy, but you'll do that in life in general, but especially in relationships and stuff. You can't help but. Yeah. What I try to do is with what knowledge I have, like when my friends do stuff, I go, dude, you can't. I remember my friend Kenny Joseph was like, I was driving with him to a friend's wedding. And this girl, he was just texting, and it was, I go, you were texting her way too much. I mean, how long you guys been together? Like 2 weeks. I go, that is too much stuff. Like, I'm just letting you in because it's going to be a problem. I could see it's going to be a problem. I go, you're not letting enough time pass. This is going to, you're going to have to maintain this, you know, right? Like, you know that you're setting up a standard that you got to, are you going to do this the rest of your life? Like, I know you're excited about it.
You're excited now, but you don't give a text back, and you got an argument because you didn't, because you set the standard. Kenny's out of his fucking mind, though. Kenny
sex in my whole life. That's the best way to do it.
You what?
And not even on purpose.
Not on purpose. I'll just be forgetting my phone places and shit. And then 2-3 hours later, I'll be like, yeah, my bad.
Oh, no. My goodness. What a happy accident that is, huh? You didn't even realize that you're a mastermind. Yo, you're saying that with friends. I was hanging out with Jared Fried back in the day, who I love to death.
Jay Fried. I love Jared. Jared's a good dude.
There was a girl I was hung up in, and it's rare. This is the last hang up I ever had. And I was texting her, and I gave a bunch of bubbles, and I'm over. Oh, you would have eaten me up, Dante. You'd be like, you're overripe. You Hawthorne thinking son of a bitch.
You were tapping away like Tito Puente on that
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, and I show it to him, and he goes, first thing he does, he just looks. He doesn't even read it. He just sees my bubbles compared to hers and goes, lots of blue. And I just knew right there. And he was being honest. That's all it is. Lots of blue.
yeah.
And that's, and he was right. He's right. It's a lot of, you can't have that imbalance.
Yeah.
You just can't have that. It's going to be a problem down the line.
It's the subtext. That's what people don't understand. Even when you're not talking, you're talking. Your stillness is screams things. The way you stand, the way you look, the look in your eyes. If there's no intent, and you know, the thing is with comedy, we're always fighting to get to that place that's most honest. But it's the same thing in life. You got to be fighting to be most honest, you know. Like, I mean, again, Andre's a fucking mastermind in that. he just, it is what it is.
Andre came out of the womb going, it's too bright in this motherfucker. You guys should, I mean, fluorescent lights? Is that, I feel like we could do better.
Come on, yo. We need something softer. We need a softer light.
You got a dimmer you could install? Something?
Dre is so fucking funny. Dre is so funny. He fucking drives me out of his mind. He's so fucking funny. Dre is like the idiot savant about it. It's just like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know who else is like that? Metzger. Like, oh, just man. Don't even know. He just makes the right decisions because he don't even know.
Of those two, though, one's a little more aggressive than the other.
Yeah.
Hey, what the fuck? And one is eating edamame or whatever he's throwing down over there. It's the coolest I've ever seen anyone eat. You're like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11 right now. Give us the plants eating a fucking shrimp cocktail.
It's crazy. How's the ladies going, Mo? How's the ladies going? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, we are in a pandemic. I have noticed that all the talk of the roaring 20s. I think it's going to be truthful. I can tell. I was trying to be very good. I've had a few mess ups early in this year. Right. I mean, we're getting close. We've been white knuckling, baby. We're getting close. So, you roll the dice and you hope it's okay.
Yeah.
I hooked up with a mask, but no condom. That's kind of a joke and kind of fucking real.
Oh, let's go the whole line.
And then wolves and lions and rats came. Like,
you're going to remember that shit forever.
That's it.
Wore a mask no to some pussy. Now, that's shit right there.
I wear
seeing your first dead body. It leaves a mark.
I wear the mask on my dick, but I put it underneath the dick, just covering the balls.
Just and
I've been told it's improper to do it that way.
Right over your chin.
Right.
It's 15 minutes of spit, so if you're out in 14, you're good, buddy. Your
balls are is the chin of the dick.
Yeah, yeah. You got the game clock on. You're like, all right, we got to wrap this up. You got to go home. We got 13 minutes and 30 seconds, honey. We got to finish this up.
That's so funny. She's like, take your time. No, the shot clock's about to go off.
Did she have on her mask?
No. I mean, so let's talk real here. Do you know who is banging during a pandemic? Not a certain political party and certain. I mean, it is Republicans and QAnon. Okay. I banged a QAnon girl, and I don't agree with her politics. I was tolerant enough that night and the night after, but and you can question me. It's like, why would you fuck someone if you don't believe in them? I'll tell you this: if you are crazy enough to believe in like lizard people, you fuck like you believe in lizard people. You know what I'm saying? I'll go to their meetings just to clean up. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable. And
really?
Talking about secret tunnels and shit, and it's just insane.
She showed you her secret tunnel.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm already on the path.
Did you know it was before?
No. I mean, dude, so I've been playing a lot in the suburbs, and the suburbs,
it's full of it.
Don't care, and I've never seen people so blatantly cheating in the sub. I mean, I've had women like proposition me. Women be like, hey, do you want to hook up later? And then, you know, I'm a man. I'm pausing because it's a goddamn pandemic, and you don't want to be a goddamn lab rat. But
you don't want to be a punk either.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, where would we go? Because I'm staying with a family, for the most part out there. And she, we can't go to my place. Well, why not? My husband's there. What? Yeah, yeah, we can't go there. So how's this happening? You didn't tell me you had a husband. And one time someone goes, who do you think told me to talk to you? Like, it's just, it's swinger. It's
wild. Oh, it's just really.
There's a lot of that. And it's kind of like, don't ask, don't tell and shit. I've never seen more of this.
More hypocrisy. More what comes out of my mouth is incongruent with everything that I do.
Yeah, or just like people want to have, I think a lot of people settle down in the suburbs, and it's kind of rurally where I've been playing. And so I think people settle down early. They have the kids. They have all these shits, their jobs, yeah. 2.1 cars. And then they realize, well, that's not fun. I still like side ass. Okay. Right. Oh, I still like to go out and drink and do blow at 40. Okay. It's wild.
And yeah. This is from where you're doing the gigs, you're saying. You do a couple of gigs, you show
these
up
rural areas, he's
some
saying.
Some of these places, my friend, that are small town the new bullshit. Yeah. What's that, Dre?
Small town bullshit. You by yourself in a little ass town with a lot of space.
Yep.
Not a lot of people to judge you, find out about your shit. People get freaky out there. All the craziest crimes come from them small town places.
They never really stretched out in the first place. So, you know what I mean? Now you're 40 and you're repressed, and now you're ready to get somebody to shit on your chest. You're like, you know,
I was into the city to do freak shit.
Let me ask you this. Would you have done her honestly if you knew, like if you had this QAnon talk in the first place, would you have done her anyway? Or no, are you at a place where you would go? Because I know there was a period of time, like after you broke up with old girl from back in the days, and then there was a moment where you were really kind of weird. Remember we were at Times Square Arts? Okay. Remember when we were at Times Square Arts? Oh. And you were like, I don't know. And these chicks were, I remember it was some chicks were trying to pick you up or something. And you were like, I don't know.
You're like the old veteran, like ball player, jazz musicians. Like, these motherfuckers want to give you a job. Have you ever been to Seattle, young man? Oh, I don't know about that. Have you ever thought about playing for the Mariners? Oh, I'm going to go home. Motherfucker, they want you to play center field.
Yeah. It was two of them trying. Did you hit? But you smashed both of them on one.
Back then, probably none of them. I mean, let's be honest.
Right,
I have missed so many green and yellow lights in my life, and it is a thing now.
Why do you think that is, James? What do you think?
Self-esteem growing up. No tooth here. I got beat up a lot. I had to fight a lot. Grandparents raised me. Didn't see my mom much. There's all kinds of shit there. I mean, she was an addict, so that didn't help nothing. Very shy, left to yourself, big age gap with the grandparents. Always just had it in my head that I was a loser and all this shit. And I was confident in fifth grade. I know it sounds insane. I asked like 7 girls within 5 minutes to go to the fifth grade dance, and they all said no. And I was so confident that Dante would have been proud of the young man. I had hair, still missing a tooth. And then I had to beat a girl in Foursquare to get her to go to dance with me, which now in the Twitter age, I'd be canceled probably for that. Right. Like, you beat her in fucking Foursquare. And we went. And after that, I think I asked a couple more girls in sixth grade and got denied and got called nerd a lot in sixth grade and beat up by just horrible people. Mm. And I think that damaged me going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's taken me years to get through it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck at this point, and I really can't be bothered half the time. But when I want to go, I'll go.
Yeah, did you have to recognize that's what was going on, or did you just kind of know and was kind of paralyzed, not able to change it?
Well, no, I mean, I realized that. I also had this thing in my head for years to try not to be creepy. I don't know. From a young age, I saw that shit as corny. Maybe it's the punk rock in me growing up.
What do you mean? Explain what you mean.
Just dudes who were like, I guess it's the slime. I just saw the dudes who were real aggressive at a young age seemed corny to me. They seemed slimy. It was a jock bullshit that I didn't like at that point.
Right. And those are all the dudes that were fucking with you anyway, were beating you up. So it's like this resentment is not really for the technique. It's more a resentment of, you know, the stuff that you're dealing with before. Like, these guys represent basically your bullies, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and so that probably got stuck. And then getting into like punk rock and indie music and weird shit, you didn't like the people who were like, they were like squares, man. These dudes just seemed cornballs. They said corny shit. I'm like, I'm not going to be that. And so, and then so you watch porno.
Right.
Oh, go on, Harry. Yeah.
Yeah. I say you go to the opposite way. I kind of relate to that. When I was young, I didn't want to be, I was so worried about being over aggressive because you'd see that in movies or whatever.
Yes.
That I was too nice, and then I wouldn't say anything to anybody.
Yeah,
like, so I relate to that. Yeah,
yeah. I used to tell Harry, I go, if you tried your best to be rude, I go, at best you will be mildly confident. Yeah. Like in your mind at that time, you'll be mildly confident. You thinking you're an asshole, just turning it out. But yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I've been using some of your techniques from just talking to you. And I think the 3 minutes I was sober years ago on this show, basically when I'm texting or whatever, or someone's DMing me, I try to remind myself, just throw it away. Just have that effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't try. Just fucking be flawless and play with the abandon like we do on stage. Right. We want to do well.
Yeah.
But we know there'll be another one. So who gives a fuck? So play loose and just see what the fuck happens. So it and everyone can sense that. Like,
now,
like,
do you think
when you're thirsty?
Do you Do you think you can play loose, or do you think you're playing loose, or are you really loose? Because the real game is no game. So it's not trying to be that or I'm going to be that. It's being that. You know,
I think I've gotten to that because I'm such a lunatic.
Right.
I will notice it, fourth wall, overthink shit. And then it's like, oh, man, I'm doing well, huh? It's kind of like you're not supposed to remind a pitcher that they're throwing a no hitter. Like, once you tell them, like, oh, fuck. And then they're worried about that. They weren't worried about it before. And I have to remind myself, just stay loose. Who gives a shit? Who cares? Right now, she's not here right now.
Right.
So, and I'm okay. I'm living. I'm fine.
Right.
So and I'm doing good because I don't care, because I'm content hanging out, watching something, reading something, listening, playing, thinking about the next move in life. Fuck it. So keep that energy going forward, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's because you're working like whether or not, whatever anybody thinks, you would be doing that anyway. You know, the acceptance or not the acceptance, if that's really, if you're living your life like that every day, then it's surprisingly, you don't care what other people think, but it affects other people in such a way because you're so authentic that there's no light between who you are and who you say you are. And that's, I think that becomes a very powerful thing. You know, it's a very powerful thing.
And I think that comes with age. I mean, we all bitch about getting older. I mean, fuck it. You probably heard my shoulder cracking a couple times already.
Yeah.
But the knowledge you get and the comfort in your skin that, like, old people always told me was going to happen. You're like, shut up, man, and go drink more Bud Light. Whatever, man. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, no, man, this is it. The older you get, the less you give a fuck. And you're comfortable and you lived and you survived shit.
And that's when you get funny. You really are funny.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Man, survival. If you survive, there's going to be a few stories because life's all about surviving.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I'm mad. James, I keep calling you mad because we know you.
It's tattooed on my arm.
No, I remember back in the days, I'd walk in with the baby blue fur and we'd be up in Stanham, New York. I'd slide in with the baby blue fur and inadvertently somebody would go, this happened to me the other day. I had my coyote on.
Person who ever says that sentence. I love you.
I didn't even know they made fur coats out of coyote.
It seems
like it would be a pain in the ass to catch them.
they do it by helicopter. So, but they I'm in the coyote. I went to see the UFC fight. Right.
Okay.
So I wanted to see the fight. So I come in, I go to the bouncers there. Hey, how you doing? Greet him, blah, 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 blah. I go, I hit him with a 20, right? He, you'd be surprised with a $20 bill. Could, like, you could buy him. This, he moved out the way, made a path, wiped my table.
Pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he wiped my table down. You want, he gave me, you want this one or that one? We got the first round. We had the first round, and the bartender came on. I hit her with a 20, right? Now, the what you call it, we $40 in, but we are, they're throwing chicken wings and mozzarella sticks and bringing shots over and just
eating good.
Just like
Jesus Christ, you're Dean Martin.
And I would, and the thing is, I probably would have tipped them that anyway, you know, in the course of.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? But just being up front is like, yo, I'm looking you in your eyes and I recognize you. I see you and I understand what you're doing. And bong, you know, here it is. This is where I'm at. And they, so now, because it's, they're jumping around the table, they buzzing around the table. The owner comes over. He's like, hey, you having a good time? I'm like, yeah, man, it's great. Great time. He shakes my hand. And he goes, oh, I'm the owner. Such and so. Now everybody's watching. Everybody's got, like, who's this motherfucker, right? Nobody. I'm just a dude who gives a fuck about people enough to tip him up front. So he, I go in the fight. What was it? Did you watch it or no? You watched the fight?
I watched McGregor about a month ago in PA.
But oh, no. This last one was this chick, Amanda. What's her name?
Amanda Nunes.
She's terrific. Yes, I do like her quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Amanda Nunes disassembled.
You seen her, Dre? You seen her fight yet?
No.
Oof.
She's the best ever. She's the best ever, but because she's not traditionally beautiful and not straight, you and barely speaks English, they don't market her like Ronda. So there's plenty of people who are going to be like, Ronda's the best.
She busts Ronda ass.
Yeah, she beat Ronda.
She busts Ronda. I mean, master. Yeah. But the whole thing is that they're buzzing. So we go in the, so I want to go to the bathroom. I got my coat on. I'm in the bathroom. I take a piss. And this little dude comes in. He goes, oh, yo, what is that? What is that? An elephant skin? Or what is that? And I go, I don't say, I just go, it's coyote. It's coyote. And he goes, oh, yeah, yo, I respect it. Yo, I respect it, though. Yo, I go, yo, that's coyote, yo. Just now you, so it's interesting that this, I'm not fucking with you. I don't give a fuck. But when I don't give a fuck about what you think, when your judgment on me doesn't matter, then all of a sudden, now you're the punk that you wasn't. You've seen me do that at stand up when I'm, you know, just over the top. It's just like, no, I answer you straight with just the energy you're giving off. It's like, I'm not a clown, dog, and I'm not playing this game. There's a subtext.
I've learned, that's something else I've learned over the years from years of being bullied and then having to stand up for yourself. And I'm not a tough guy, but I've never, you know, I can survive. I don't have a glass chin. But what I've learned, and the real scary fuckers I grew up with, they don't yell back shit to you. It's always, yeah, this is this. And oh my, like when you watch a movie and shit too, you think about it. The most sinister motherfuckers barely.
It's a quiet motherfucker. Yeah.
And when they do, then it takes it over the point. But it's some cold, them debonair ass Bond villains and shit. And it's
because there's an intent. You know what I mean? There's an intent. And you and I were talking about that. You know, in terms of comedy, it's like there's an intention in the words that speaks louder. And a lot of times guys, especially in relationships and dealing with women, they, you know, they do it in so many other ways. If you, like you said, you were bullied a lot. So if somebody's coming up to you to fuck with you, you understand the science of that. You know what the body posture looks like. You know what you sense it. Because you've had that situation and because it's a dangerous situation. So you know what the posture looks like immediately. You know what the posture looks like when the guy is changing from, I might fuck with this dude. Like you could smell it. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, baby. Yes. There's a change. Yes. But I can see that moment in people.
But Same thing is true when you're out on a date or when you're talking to a girl. Just like you can pick up danger, you can, and you can communicate fear, or you can communicate readiness. You can also communicate value. The only problem is you got to really have value. Like, so you got to live a good life to do that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, bro.
Oh, no, no, man. I'm just listening. This is great. No, but that is exactly what it is. You have to realize that you have something. And it takes you sometimes it takes people forever, man. Once you stop chasing shit and you just go, I'm this, and I'm going to end up being and doing what I'm supposed to. I'm going to still work and do this, but I'm going to stop worrying about what so-and-so got, so-and-so here. There's a competence to fucking that.
Yeah.
And you know, and a few times, you know, in the last couple of months when I hooked up, I remember making a decision going, I could care less. I'm going to have a drink right now after this show. And I see where it goes, and I'll find someone else, or I'll find her, or I'll go to the hotel room and take a nap and watch some shit on goddamn
computer.
Either
way, it's all good.
Yeah,
I ain't worried about nothing. I got gigs tomorrow. I got work to do. We are in the pandemic. I ain't worried. It's just I know what I'm worth. And if she drives me nuts, I can walk away. I don't give a shit.
Right.
But it took years to get to that stock, to know how to read the stock chart and realize, oh, shit, I own this $99 a share shit. Oh, this $150 share. I'm that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy. It's interesting how to get there and to get there. And then
it's also like you're negotiating. Relationships are all a negotiation. So it's very weird taking this to another place where there's jobs that I never wanted. I remember I got a job once where they ended up paying me like double the amount I wanted because I legitimately didn't want the job.
Because you didn't want the job.
I go, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do sales. They go, well, then they just started like almost upset that I didn't want to do the sales.
$80,000. We'll give you $200 per diem. Nah, man, I want to be a farmer. Okay, you're a hard bargain. 93.
Yeah.
93, and you get to date my daughter. She's into it. Come on.
Part of it is human nature, but the other part is you don't know how much you could get if you're willing to walk away. You know, but that's the other thing. When you're willing to walk away, you can change the landscape of the whole thing, relationships wise, you know. Otherwise, guys settle. What ends up happening is you're not willing to take that risk and lose. So you settle for less, whether that's emotionally what you have to deal with, arguing over, you know, not answering texts in time because you're not willing to walk away. If you cut that shit off at the beginning, you never have to deal with that again. But if you continue to negotiate and you accept that, like, okay, this time I'll be better, that becomes the parameters of your relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this documentary years ago of Pearl Jam. It was Pearl Jam 20, and they talked about how they almost broke up in the middle of their height because they couldn't say no to anything. And they knew they needed days off and all this shit, and it became too much. And they said for the last like hour and a half of the documentary, they talked about this thing, the power of no. And it stuck in my head. There's a power to turning shit down. Yeah. Nah, I appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, do you want to hang out right now? And go, no, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Power to that, but maybe tomorrow.
Something I heard was like how saying no to one thing frees you up to the thing you were supposed to be free for, or something like that. I'm butchering the thing, but it's something of that.
Well, you're saying the destiny wise. I mean, I don't know about the destiny. Like, I'm not.
I know, I do agree with it. I'll tell you why I agree with that. Because if you're settling in with somebody who's mediocre, you're not out there. You're not able to meet somebody who is amazing, that those parameters do fit. So if I had accepted, you know, the girl, my girl now, I'm super happy with, I love her. I would not have met her if I didn't turn down other girls
that
were
less,
going okay. It wasn't a bad relationship, but I just went, I don't like this. I kind of don't like that. And I saw it as a sign for the future. And if I just kind of had accepted that, I would maybe still be in one of those relationships and maybe unhappy. But because I said no and I moved on, I was free to find her. So I mean, agree with that.
It's not that I don't agree. My thing is this whole idea of destiny or fate. I think that's all bullshit. The idea is it's just probable.
Fate,
it's probable that it's very possible that if you have somebody in your life and you're splitting your time, that you won't meet other people. Where in that sense, then you cut down your variables. Like, that's just simple math.
Probability.
But I don't believe that there's this master plot where you go, because the bottom line is that you make, I mean, I look at me and I'm going, nobody planned this. You know what I mean? This happened. This whole thing of who I am, it just happened. And I made decisions, you know, to go in different directions or not to go in different directions. It just wasn't all worked out. But you're right. If you're settling and you're not, look, if you're really working on yourself, and you give a fuck about yourself. It's just like, it's, you know, like Andre's dude works out all the time. He takes care of his body. So he doesn't want to put shit in his body because it matters. You know what I mean? It matters that he does that. And so he gives a fuck about it. But if you don't give a fuck about your body, it's much easier to put shit in it because it doesn't matter. Because you feel like there's a value in that. And I think that's the thing that we don't get, is that the measure of what you think you are, that becomes your value to the other person. Because how else do they evaluate you if they just meet you, or you're dealing with them week, 2 weeks, whatever, or just even the moment they meet you, how do they get to know you? You tell them who you are.
You're your press agent.
Yeah.
My client likes this, that, and that, and has done this, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Just like my client who doesn't speak up, doesn't stand up straight, talks with rolled shoulders and says, maybe, I don't know if you kind of want to, maybe sometimes if you're not doing anything, maybe we could do something. Huh? You know? And you go, who wants that? Like, no, who's buying that car? You know, we're doing it constant. We're doing it constant, and we think we're fooling ourselves and fooling people. And we're not. And we see that on stage all the time. Like you and I was sit back and watch motherfuckers, and we like.
I've been having discussions with people because someone wrote something scandalous on Facebook about someone who just passed away, and it upset me. And I was reading it to a friend, and in the middle of it, I go, as someone who's done this as long as I have. Can you tell if this is a good comic? Like, it's those little things, inexperience and not really knowing what they're, not being in control.
Hey, wait, hold up. Give me, I don't understand. So who was the comic that they,
I don't even know this person, but they wrote something shitty about Richie who died at the comic strip. I mean, the body wasn't even cold yet.
Right,
I'm
going to
do an episode on this and talk about just basically, and I'm, you know, I ain't here to start no thing. I'm going to go nameless on all the platforms on it, but like, said that she dressed down because he doesn't like pretty women, which, I mean, I was at every audition for like 6 years with him, basically, and never anything I heard. And then she said that she basically wore a hat and braided her hairs and didn't wear makeup. And but that's part of what you're saying.
To please him.
Yeah, if you're a comic, Dante, would any of you guys go to an audition because you heard that this person, man, I hear CBS for this part, they want dudes who only have one eye. I mean, get the fuck, you're going to be who the fuck you are. And if you can't based on who you are, then it's bullshit anyway. That's such a rookie thing. I always say that you can tell some people just want to quote unquote make it. They don't want to find out who they are and do the truth. If you tell some of these young comics, yo, drink this, but put some milk in it and let your cousin piss in it and then swallow a fucking GoBot that your uncle had in 84 and you'll be on TV tomorrow. They don't fucking do it because they don't want to put the work, because they're not really about the work. They're not about doing it. They just want to make it, and they just want this mythical success. But that's something you learn years of doing this and get your teeth knocked out. Yeah. It's not about that. I'm still here. I've lost probably more than I've won in this business, and I fucking refuse to lay down. That's because you love it. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
But that is the thing you can see. I can tell who's bullshit by posture on stage and also in how they describe themselves and I blah, blah, blah. And I decided to do that. Well, you're just telling me you're not good. And so I was telling a friend of mine, we were discussing, I'm like, I would love to play poker.
Oh, when that guy does push-ups, the dude who does push-ups before he goes on.
I've seen a couple of those people. I tried it once and I think I bombed. And so the old superstitious ass said, fuck that.
You're supposed to do push-ups before you perform.
No, no, there some used to be dudes, like when we would do the black rooms, it'd be some dude in the back, he'd be doing push-ups, or he'd be
I remember seeing a nigga shadow boxing.
They do the shadow boxing.
Yeah. You ever see these dudes who punch their chest like this and shit? It's like, what are you doing? I'm getting ready. I mean, there's got to be other ways to do it. Don't you want to do some improv exercises?
The longer you do it, the funnier. It's funny. You get all this energy, nervous energy when you first start doing it. And now at this point, like, they got to get you to come off the thing. You're like, hey, they're introducing you right now. You're like, all right, let me put my cigarette out.
Yeah, you're like, yo.
Tell them I'm coming. You're just like, you know, just nothing.
You're like, yo, can I get a lime? Can I get a lime? And you're trying to get your drink before you go up on stage. It's crazy how it changes. But when you see that I'm pushed up.
That comes from a place of fear. That has to come from a place of fear, because you got to hype yourself up because you're
not
confident.
You're starting to feel like you're going into a battle. So that's why you're doing physical stuff to get your fucking flight and fight whatever response going and shit.
Get your adrenaline pump, you punching.
Like they feel like they're about to go fight something.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't gonna front. I listen to music and walk around. That's it. Because I know after years of doing this what I need to do to get my head right. And I need to get my juices flowing and shit. Sometimes I used to
listen to what's the name? I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. Who's that, Dre? Who's that dude?
Cassidy.
I used to listen to that on the way. But most of the time, because I was so tired, I needed something to wake me up and get me just to get me hype. Because I like, you know, music affects you, but not because I was trying to I was trying to get the energy up to perform.
I remember I was angry about something or other one time. I had a show, but I just finished watching Kill Bill, so I played the entire as I drove into the city.
Great soundtrack to listen to before you go on.
Kill Bill soundtrack,
so good
to try to just be, I guess, angry. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking at the time.
Yeah, it's weird. Then you go. It's funny, man. Me and Harry did a gig at some warehouse, and I was like, you know, I was trying to get Harry up, and he had it was a lot. How many motherfuckers was on that show? It was too many motherfuckers.
Ten
motherfuckers, and they were doing
a lot of time.
12 to 15.
Nobody knows how to run a show.
Woohoo! 10 people for 12 minutes.
12 to 15. 12 to 15.
Nah, son.
Some of these motherfuckers couldn't handle 8.
I was trying to get Harry up, so I was like, I'll go later. So I ended up going last, and which is not clearly, you know, Mad Dog, how long have it been me and you closing the club out at fucking 1 o'clock in the morning with 6 people? But it was just like, it was so much. And I went up and I just hit him with a couple of jokes, got a few laughs here and there. And then somebody's chair broke. One of the plastic chairs broke. The guy fell on the ground. It was, oh, what? You're right. And I looked at Harry and I was like, yeah, I'm done, y'all. I'm good.
This was recent or this was back in the day?
3 weeks ago.
About 3 weeks ago. I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yo, these new shows we're doing, huh? This new world. I mean, we're gonna laugh about it in a year or so, but man, it is wild. Yeah.
I am definitely gonna appreciate a club, like, because we got to the point where, dog. I mean, if we were sitting up at, you know, me and Jamie, we worked together a lot, like every fucking weekend, and we would be complaining if it was 12 people. Yeah. Like, it's not enough for the crowd. We complain on 50 people, you know?
Depending on the room, yeah.
50.
If it was a Times Square Arts Center, there's a place that holds 300.
Yeah.
You're bummed that there's 50 people there.
50? I mean, they did shows in that room when they had, like, 3 other rooms. They would do shows in the room, the big theater, with 20 people because they didn't have time to prep the other room.
How crazy is that? Like, that we would be in that place, be 3 different rooms going on at the same time. You'd be running up and down the stairs and shit, just doing show after show after show. And now we're in a situation where if you get 30 spread out wide. What was that joint we did? We did another rooftop. It was fucking Brick City. Freezing.
Cold as shit. And they haven't done a show there since, but that's going to be their money spot when the weather's good. That place is awesome. But yeah, we played like 10 people, 12 people on a freezing ass night on the roof that looks like...
I mean, like cold.
Yeah, and they
maybe 20 degrees, about 20 degrees,
oh,
right?
Baby, fucking who know? A penguin wouldn't even come out. And these people had a good time, and it reminded
and
you.
And Doug, to watch them, I mean, and this is what's interesting, you know, in terms of relationships and stuff. These people bundled up, full goose downs, blankets, hats, scarves, all kinds, just like mummies, sleeping bags and shit. And you realize that how important what we do is.
Yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
As much as you feel like, you know, they think that we're non-essential, but it's such, what we do is so important, because why would somebody sit out in 12 degree weather? But the other day I was at the on 23rd Street on the rooftop. It was 17 degrees out.
People are there.
And they're there in it.
Yeah.
You, buddy, like, need the contact, need the social, need the necessary for the soul, for the spirit. You feel me?
Yeah, man, I've been playing in a tent in somehow, you know, there was snow in PA, and it felt like I was in one of them shits that you give like a child and they shake that shit up, a snow globe, whatever. You feel like you're performing to these people. And you see them shivering.
Yeah.
Some of them still aren't adults enough to drink something warm with liquor. They're drinking fucking Truly still and goddamn January, and you feel like
White Claws.
Title card. White Claws, unbelievable. And you feel like you're in a title card for the old Batman cartoon and shit. And you're like, holy shit, this is insanity.
They're doing this.
A year ago, if you asked your friend, or if a friend asked you to go to their backyard or their stoop in the middle of winter to hang out, you're like, are you fucking crazy? No. And now it's like, hey, do you want to go freeze and watch comedy by a river? Are you fucking crazy? Yes.
Like, yes, absolutely. Can I bring a friend?
Yeah,
wait, wait, not too many, because it's only a
limitations.
Yo, man, give me all your stuff, plug it, and then we're going to do, if you can hang out, we're going to do some listener mail behind the Patreon, all right?
Please. V. James Mattern on Instagram. I changed it because of Dante. We had a call when I was still in Vegas, when everything was shut down, and you're like, yo, I'm sending you this. Yo, get rid of that fucking L. Be the James Mattern if you can't get James Mattern. This is confusing the shit. I'm done. Click, and within 2 seconds, I'm walking the streets of Henderson, Nevada, and I fixed it. The James Mattern, the Commissioner Comedy Podcast. New episodes drop Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern. It's about the etiquette, the unspoken rules, all kinds of cool shit, man, about the business, its passion. I promise you, you'll listen to it, you'll want to run through a fucking wall. I'm guarantee you, baby, and you'll care about our business.
Do you have guests on it or no?
I haven't. I'm toying with ways of doing bonus episodes, toying with that. I was supposed to initially, and
it's
I was
a solo.
Have a
it's a solo thing. It's kind of a monologue. It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. He does a great job with it.
It was an
he
accident.
Really,
yeah.
It was all an accident. My partner, the guy who was going to be my co-host, like, can we really do 40 minutes to an hour on the handshake? And then I got the sleep out of my eye. I cracked open something to sip on, and I did 40 minutes on my phone, sent it to the podcast network, like, yeah, that's the show. And I'm like, all right, well, that's what we're going to do.
Nice, so
check that
nice.
Out. And my new album's coming out sometime after April. Might be in April, but probably now May or June. It's called The Check Spot. It is me doing a question and answer with an audience while they pay their bills. The worst part of the comedy show. The Check Spot. So check that shit out.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. Wow. Harry, talk to me.
You could go to my stuff at Harry Terjanian to follow me to see some stand-up clips and everything else. Go to the Man School YouTube page, the Instagram page, the TikTok. We're all over the place, but most importantly, go to patreon.com/manschool202 and join us as we answer some listener mail.
Drizzle Dre.
Yo, Andre D. Thompson on everything, and AndreDThompson.com, Slouch Theory Podcast. That's all, yo.
Dope, dope. Everything with me, Dante Nero or The Dante Nero. Google me. I'm on everything. Go to DanteNero.com if you need a one-on-one consultation. Just dope, man. I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate the fuck out of y'all. Also, don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. Really important. Helps us to keep doing the show. If you think that we're helping you and you like this, and I hear this all the time, that how people love the show and this changed my life, sign up for the Patreon, please, and support us so we can keep doing it. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I'm out, man. I love y'all. Peace. Man School 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by
Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.